Everybody join in this melody. That's the only way we're gonna be free. Everybody sing it this sweet refrain. Sing this melody till it gets in your brain.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata alladhina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi 'alayhim wa ad-dallin. Amin.
Everybody singing this melody. That's the only way.
From the number one destination of the world, Orlando, Florida, I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. Broadcasting from the city's Black Belt, Pine Hills. Brought to you by the Landskur Show and the Holistic and Spiritual Cultural Center of Orlando, Florida. You will experience the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. Stay tuned and enjoy the wisdom of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as presented by Minister Louis Farrakhan, the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. I am your host and brother, Professor Vibert Muhammad.
From Cape to Cairo, one Africa. Everybody singing this sweet refrain.
And to all those who are present, I call it a great honor and a great challenge to be here this afternoon on this occasion. 25 years ago, at around this very hour, Malcolm X was assassinated in the Audubon Ballroom as he was addressing between 400 and 500 of his followers. On that day, Malcolm X, for some reason, did not permit a search. And on that day, some black men got into the Audubon Ballroom with sawed-off shotguns and pistols and ended the life, the physical life, of Malcolm X. I know exactly where I was on that day. I was teaching across the river in Newark, New Jersey, at the local mosque there, when we received the news. The tragedy of that afternoon and the subsequent pain to Malcolm's family and to those who loved him and to the membership of the Nation of Islam who had fallen away from Malcolm has produced pain in all of us who are involved in the struggle of justice for our people, a pain that lingers to this very moment. It is a pain that is carried by Betty Shabazz, his wife, by Attila Shabazz and Kubila and Ilyasa, and I think there's one more child, but I knew those three. And that pain extends to all of those who admire Malcolm, who love Malcolm, who were inspired by Malcolm. And we lost him as we did Dr. King at such a young age. Today, 25 years later, with less emotion, we might be able to assess this tragic loss and draw lessons from it that perhaps we can heal the wounds and write a new history and go on after learning the lessons to the liberation that Malcolm talked about, that Martin talked and dreamed about, and that liberation struggle that we gathered here today are alive either to be a part of as an active participant or be some wayfarer on the road watching the struggle for our own liberation. The media is here because it's an interesting development. Farrakhan at Malcolm X College. On the 25th anniversary of his assassination, what will Farrakhan say? How will he present the case, or his case, or our case? Will he say anything that we can use to keep the controversy going? Will he make a mistake in an emotional tirade and say that which will allow us to continue to pour salt in a gaping wound in a too wounded community that cries out for healing? I came to Malcolm X because to me it's the place I should be today. I came to Malcolm X because, looking back 25 years, one should be wiser than one was 25 years ago. One should be able to see clearer, because hindsight, they say, is 20/20 vision. And most of us who live life, in our youth, we do things that when we mature, we wouldn't do. And in our youth, we say things that when we mature, we wouldn't say. But as we were honest in what we said and what we did when we did it, as we mature, we ought to be honest in what we say and what we do when we do it. We are all growing. We are all evolving. Hopefully, we are not today what we were yesterday, and we are not tomorrow yet what we shall be, but we are an evolving people. And the struggle for liberation is a struggle that is making us wiser with every step that we take. And in our sojourn toward liberation, there are casualties along the way. There are conflicts along the way. There are deaths and assassinations along the way. There's ignorance along the way. But at some point, we have to look back with a cold eye and reason where we went wrong, how we went wrong, what did we say, what did we do, because today we face the same enemy that Malcolm faced 25 years ago. Only
The enemy is wiser today and more wicked today, even as we hopefully are wiser today in our struggle. I want to talk about history, since this is Black History Month, and why we should look at history and study the history that Malcolm X made. For there are lessons in his history that will fit us out with an armor that will make us able to go through the 1990s into the 21st century, or the 21st century, pardon me. Wise people study history. Because if you don't know what was, you can't understand what is. And you're ill prepared for what is yet to come. So wise people study history, because it is cyclical in nature. For history is the recorded deeds of men and women and nations as they struggle against impediments in our evolutionary march toward the absolute. Now, as students of history, we must understand that there is a reward for our research. If we are wise enough to be attracted to this most attractive study. I remember in 1961, Malcolm X talked with the great brother who wrote the book Roots, Alex Haley. And Alex Haley, writing for Reader's Digest, interviewed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X. And they said to Alex Haley that some of our original fathers who were brought into America were in fact Muslims. And that the slave masters who historically had come into contact with the Muslims as Islam spread over the known world from the 7th to the 11th centuries and black men rose to power in Islam. And since these blacks who were Muslims were conquering armies of white folk, when the New World was established, they did not want any Islam taught to black people or to white people, even though the founding fathers were Muslim Shriners, meaning that they had 33 degrees of the circle of knowledge. You have to appreciate that context in order to understand the profound effect that Malcolm X had on the black struggle as a Muslim. All right? The slave masters understand that when your life is committed to God, and you fear God and God alone, and you worship God and God alone, you cannot enslave a person of that kind of mentality for any long period of time. Our fathers were not the buffoons and clowns that they would like us to believe, for we could not have taught them how to cook and to sew. We could not have built their fine homes if we were such clowns in Africa. They took wise people out of Africa. They took mathematicians such as were great builders. but they did not want that knowledge passed on to the young, because parents' greatest function is to pass on the history, oral or written, the language, the accomplishments to a young generation, so that young people will be inspired by knowing what their fathers did, so that they can build on what their fathers did and build greater than what their fathers did. But the slave masters did not want us with that kind of knowledge. They didn't want the slave children to hear the muezzin call out, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." God is great. God is great. So I couldn't hear nobody pray, because anybody that was found saying the name Allah would be killed, because they did not want that knowledge transmitted. They did not want our own traditional African religion transmitted. They did not want the culture of Africa, the drum of Africa, the music, the dance of Africa transmitted. And so we have grown up, even though we are an African people, we have grown up totally divorced from that culture, from those traditions, whether it is Islamic or whether it is the traditional religions of Africa. They wanted no touch of Africa in the children. And so couldn't hear nobody pray. Mama gone, father gone, a motherless child sees a hard time. So the slave masters reared our fathers by telling us lies. We found you in the jungle with bones in your nose. You never were nothing. You can't be nothing. You ought to be glad that we found you jungle bunnies and civilized you. This was done to our babies so that we would grow up having eyes but not being able to see, having ears but not being able to hear, having a tongue but not being able to speak, crippled mentally, but out of our genetic past, messages would keep coming up into the black psyche. And we would bring out of our genetic coding some of the mastery and the genius of our African history. And we would display that genius in this society, robbed of our inventions, robbed of our creative genius, robbed of the ability to read, to know, but yet our fathers knew. And so we didn't have any means of transmitting messages, so we sang them. White folk love to hear us sing. And so we sang for them. "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home." Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Was a band of angels coming after who? Me. Coming to carry me home. See, we knew that this was not home. This was a strange land. And we were living among strange people whose customs were strange, whose habits were strange, whose mind was strange. I'm laying a foundation for Malcolm, a foundation for Elijah, a foundation for Farrakhan, a foundation foundation for Hannibal Afrique and us. We didn't just come into existence. We were brought into existence by an immutable law that whenever a people are deprived of that which God has ordained for us, out of our longing for that which we have been deprived of, that longing is passed on in the genes. And someday a woman gives birth to a child, and it is an ordinary looking child, but an extraordinary child. Nat Turner was a man like that. Denmark Vesey was a man like that. Gabriel Prosser was a man like that. Booker T was a man like that. W.E.B. Du Bois was a man like that. Frederick Douglass was a man like that. Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman were women like that. Ida B. Wells was a woman like that. We don't just pop up. We're not a toaster. We don't just pop out. People that don't compromise don't pop up. People that won't bow down don't pop up. What pops up is that which you put down and it pops up. But these that are made out of that law, they can't compromise, because they speak for the dead that cannot speak. They speak for the present generation that is voiceless. And they speak for the unborn generations yet to come. And when such ones appear, the slave masters are upset.
Yes, sir.
You can understand that, can't you? A slave master wouldn't go through the trouble of making slaves and not be troubled by those that come out of our longing to alleviate the pain and the oppression of slavery. Well, you know and I know, my dear Christian brothers and sisters, that white folk didn't let us read the Bible. They used to keep the Bible locked. Did you know that? For over 300 years, they didn't let us read the Bible. So we didn't know what Jesus said, what Moses said. But in 1790, they saw that it wasn't incompatible for us to be slaves and Christians. Not from the teachings of Jesus, but from their warped idea of how to use religion to come into the very religious nature of black people and deceive us in the very nature of our love for God. Oh, I want you to listen to me. Because, thank you, the deceit has been going on so much, and it's going on at this very moment. But I thank Almighty God, Allah, that He's made some of us wise enough to see into the words and the actions of the deceiver, that we might pull the coat of our brothers and sisters, that we don't fall victim today to what we fell victim to in times gone by. Let's listen. They gave us religion. We never met Jesus. We never met Peter or Paul. We met the slave master. He was our first brush with a so-called Christian. No wonder we sang the song, "Everybody Talking About Heaven Ain't Going There." Here's a man depriving us of everything talking about heaven.
Right.
Talking about the love of Jesus Christ. And pure hatred was our diet every day. Well, you can understand then that Christianity, as given to us by our slave master, not the teachings of Jesus Christ. And there is a difference. They gave us religion not to bring us close to Jesus, but to make us better tools of service for them. So that when they released us from one kind of bondage, we would be locked up in a more subtle but more deadly kind of bondage. Y'all all right? I'm not going to be long. You say, well, what does this have to do with Malcolm X? It's the background. It's like the props that you put on the stage before the principal party walks on. It helps you to understand him in his relationship to the scene. This is not pop-up happenings. Brothers and sisters, the church has been that which comforted us through slavery. The church has been the bedrock of our experience. It has been the place that we could meet and organize, and some of our greatest leaders have been from the religious experience, because by nature we are a religious people. Malcolm X grew up with a father who was a Baptist preacher. But he wasn't an ordinary preacher. He was a Baptist preacher who had a brush with the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And when he met the teaching of Marcus Garvey, he became a revolutionary kind of preacher. No man who met Mr. Garvey could have a child that was not touched by the majesty of Marcus Garvey. My mother was on the fringe of Marcus Garvey, even as Malcolm's mother was on the fringe of Garvey. Malcolm's mother from the Caribbean, my mom from the Caribbean. Malcolm saw his father killed as a young boy. Malcolm, like most of these young men, you're brilliant, but you don't have any way to express what you are so that the world may see you as you are and not as the world paints us to be. These young men who are in Malcolm X College have at least one leg up on a future. But Malcolm went to school, the public school. We call it the Killing Fields. Well, why would you say that? As much as your people need education. Yes, we need education, but we need the right kind of education. And I respectfully submit to you that 100 years after they let us in church and let us in their schools, look at the condition of our people. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. If we had a good education, if the religion had gone deep into us as Jesus would have intended it to be, we would have been a better, more moral acting people today. Talk to me. And if the education were a proper education, we would be a more productive people today. Is that right? But the education wasn't designed to make us productive. And this is why we have to be careful about the American educational system. It is a killing field for young black men and women who aspire to great deeds, but particularly the black men. Malcolm, when he reached the eighth grade, he was showing promise, brilliance, like you, like some of those that are in Cook County Jail today, or Joliet or Marion, Illinois, or some of those that are dead in all of these cemeteries that we went to school with and knew they were smarter than we were, but all of a sudden they're gone now. I was not the smartest man in my class. I was mediocre, and I'm willing to bet that most of you that are leading today, you were not the best in your class. You were mediocre. But what happened to the top of the class? It's gone. It's dead. It's in jail. It's on drugs. It's destroyed.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Vibert Muhammad, your host for the Time and What Must Be Done lecture series. You have just been listening to the first part of Minister Farrakhan's address entitled The Murder of Malcolm X, What Really Happened. This address was given by the minister on the 21st of February, 1990 at Malcolm X College in Chicago, Illinois. Next week, you'll hear the second part of this wonderful address. Today's news, Islamic news. 1. Islamic phobia attacks spiral in Europe after the Charlie Hebdo attacks in Paris. Since the attacks on Charlie Hebdo, there has been 116 anti-Muslim assaults in cities such as Paris. However, there have been hundreds of others in other cities such as Berlin, New York, Madrid, Rome, and Moscow. Last week, a Moroccan Muslim was stabbed 17 times to his death by an attacker screaming, "I am your God, I am your Islam." 2. Last week, President Obama addressed the interfaith prayer group in Washington. The president said, "People have twisted and distorted religion as a weapon to exploit, enslave, and to manipulate the weak." He cited the Crusades and the Inquisitions, groups and activities that murdered and executed millions in the name of Christianity and Jesus, as well as American slavery that was sanctioned by religious bodies, including the Catholics, such as the Ku Klux Klan, that pillaged, raped, and lynched black children, women, and men in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. 3. African Muslims hear echoes of Jim Crow in current anti-Muslim atmosphere. African American Muslims are reporting an increase in racism and discrimination that is based not only on race, but also on religion. We have seen hundreds of attacks in the last few weeks on African American Muslims physically. 3. Israeli airstrikes in Beirut, Syria, has killed two top leaders of Hezbollah and the Japanese Shia movement. Hezbollah seeks revenge, but does not want to risk war with the Jewish state. Iran has warned Israel are continued attacks on the Muslim state. 4. The United Nations had condemned Israel's demolition of Palestinian homes in the West Bank and East Jerusalem as illegal and unfair. After a series of demolitions this week, it left dozens of Palestinians, mostly women and children, homeless. 4. American ally Yemen Falls. President Abdul Rabin Mansour Hadi and Prime Minister and Cabinet members quit as the Houthi rebels consolidated their power over the country. The government aligned with the United States in fighting al-Qaeda. Americans have been evacuated from the region. Today, this concludes our Muslim news. Until next week, please tune in again to the Time and What Must Be Done lecture series. We look forward to you. If you have any questions or concerns, please email us at thisistrueislam@gmail. This is True Islam. If you want to reach us at Gmail, thank you again. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. You have heard the life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by his national representative, Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. If you are interested in supporting this worldwide ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, contact www.noi.org. That is www.noi.org.